Now, I was up at Kirribilli last week and was talking to the Governor-General, of course, and he asked me a question regarding Australian politics and what do I think of the of what's been going on. And I said I had to just excuse myself.
You can't even name the Governor-General.
No, I can't.
Try right now.
Oh, no, don't do this to me. I just made space in my brain for other things, and I've just removed it from...
You know what you should look into? You should look into his wife, because she loves to sing.
Okay.
There's a lot of really great videos of his wife singing to various dignitaries, politicians. It's really incredible.
This is a true story. I have actually been to the New South Wales Governor's house, and I've played the piano that is in... New South Wales Government House, but I cannot tell you who the current New South Wales Governor is, even though I have probably met them. General Hurley, I think.
Yeah, that's national. That's the Australian Governor.
Australian Governor. Oh, yeah. Man, I see.
No one knows who the state Governor is.
Well, I've met him.
Well, there you go.
And I'm good friends with him. because I went to one of his parties last week, and this is the situation we're in. I have no idea what I'm talking about. You're hearing it here, but this is not a real. This is a real thing.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Australian politics. I'm very uninformed, which is why I'm so happy to have Nick in the studio again to tell us all about what's happening in Australian politics this week. Nick, what is happening?
Well, this week was defense. It's of course because Prime Minister Anthony Albanese flew to San Diego in California. He met with US President Joe Biden and UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to unveil the next stage of the AUKUS alliance. Now, this stage is all about nuclear submarines. So to quickly clarify here, a nuclear submarine is a boat that is powered by nuclear energy, not one that carries nuclear weapons. And that was stressed repeatedly during the announcement this week. So the current plan is that Australia will purchase between 3 and 5 Virginia-class attack submarines from the United States during the 2030s. Then, using some technology from the US and the UK, Australia will build 8 submarines in Adelaide, 8 new submarines, and they'll become functional in the 2040s. Now, this represents the first time that this nuclear propulsion technology will be shared outside of the US or UK. So the figure quoted for this program... It's going to be eye-watering. Wait for it. Is that it will cost $368 billion
over
the next 30 years. And that will constitute the single largest spend on military capability in Australian history. Now, the coalition has said that they will support budget cuts to create room for this deal. And Peter Dutton made sure to suggest that cuts could be made to the National Disability Insurance Scheme to free up some cash. But I'm not going to say anymore.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm sure you're going to be surprised by this, but there have been some mixed responses.
I have seen a lot of stuff coming from Paul Keating.
Oh,
about this.
We're going to get to Paul Keating.
Okay, great. Okay, I can't wait. I saw that. I thought, I reckon Nick's going to talk about this week.
On the positive side for the deal, the federal government obviously has been talking a lot about how it represents investment for our military capability. And obviously, those are nods towards this concern that's growing about China's influence in the Pacific, founded or not, that's up to you. But there's also been a lot said towards the job creation this will have in Australian shipyards and the military and scientists. And generally, we're looking at a quoted figure of around 20,000 jobs being needed to support this program. But that I'm not 100% sure that could be over 30 years, so that could amount to only a few thousand every year. But in general, it's a lot of economic energy that's being dispensed. On the other hand, of course, there has been significant backlash regarding how much money is being spent. The Greens, especially their leader Adam Bandt, have been particularly vocal in their criticism of the government. Now, Labor's rhetoric for the entire parliamentary term has been focused on spending less, being responsible with money, and multiple times they've argued that paying for certain social services or programs, expanding JobKeeper, that is probably not financially viable. So to see them come out with a big cash splash for weapons is... interesting to some people who might be less pro-defense spending.
Yes.
Then let's talk about Paul Keating. So former Labor Prime Minister Paul Keating went hog wild in front of the national press conference yesterday, saying a series of truly incredible one-liners about the program. If you have the time, I'd highly recommend to go watch it because it's wild. But I'll sum it up with one, potentially his tamest quote of the interview, which was, quote, "History will be the judge of this project in the end, but I want my name clearly recorded among those who say it's a mistake," end quote. There's a lot more that's said, but I'm not going to repeat some of those things. Overall, this program's a huge amount of money and it's a plan that goes decades and decades into the future. But it'll be interesting to watch, especially on the sides of job creation, finding the money to pay for this. Military spending has a real tendency to always arrive on time and under budget. Sarcasm. So let's see how this goes. We have a federal budget coming up in May, so it'll be interesting to see if it's mentioned, if they pass it off a couple of decades into the future, we'll see.
Okay, that's some big changes on the way. Let's move on from the eye-wateringly absurd world of federal politics and into the obviously more stable and much more calm world of state politics. What's happening here?
Well, this week has been the week of Liberal Premier Dominic Perrottet dragging the kids out.
He's done it. Finally.
He was on Channel 9 with his wife and kids, enjoying a very cushy interview, I might add, which I have to say was quite reminiscent of the At Home with ScoMo piece we saw before last year's election. Now, this is the part where I have to remind myself that we care about our listeners and therefore will not be playing a clip of the former Prime Minister playing the ukulele.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I didn't bring that USB today. So Dominic Perrottet launched the Liberal Party campaign in Liverpool, where he was joined on stage by 36 children, which is only 29 more than he currently has. This was, of course, to launch the Future Fund, which is a Liberal policy designed to help future generations pay for their housing and education. Now, this is a bit nitty-gritty, so it's an $850 million policy, and it will give each child in New South Wales under the age of 10 a bank account with $400 in it. Now, every year, the parents of that child or children can put up to $1,000 in that account, and the government will match it up to $400.
Okay.
So, it's all well and good, but we're dealing with a cost of living crisis and a housing crisis, and there's no real end in sight. And it feels like this policy heavily benefits families that can afford to put $400 aside each year. Because ultimately, if you are a parent that can spare $400 per child, that child will receive $800 in a bank account. If you're a parent who doesn't have that kind of money, your child will get nothing. So there's been a lot of criticism of this policy and whether or not it will actually support young people getting into housing and education, when, of course, the funding for this could just be put into housing and education.
Yeah, it's just adding a couple of extra steps in there.
Yeah. And ultimately, I think the maximum you can cash out from this account, which the Liberal Party has quoted, is around $50,000 at age 18. And that's not a huge... I mean, for education, that could get you a degree, but it's not a lot in terms of housing.
No.
But allow me to inject some balance into this conversation, because the Coalition do not have a monopoly on questionable policies. We also have a really special one from Labor.
Right.
This one technically isn't a policy, but more of an absence of one. Well, I guess it is a little bit of a policy, but it's Labor's inability to tie down an effective response to problem gambling in New South Wales. So the Coalition have, against all expectations, suggested some pretty significant reform to gambling by introducing a cashless gaming card. Whether or not the cashless gaming card is a perfect solution doesn't really matter at this point, because gambling is a massive problem in this state and in this country, both for individuals and their personal health and well-being, and for the seriously significant problem of money laundering through pubs and clubs. Now, the Coalition has been very brave in putting up a proposed reform to make all poker machines in New South Wales cashless, and I believe it's by 2025, but don't quote me on that. But that puts them at odds with the powerful Clubs New South Wales lobbyists, and Clubs New South Wales has put up some serious fights in the past over gambling reform. So to take them on during an election campaign is respectable. Now, this has received really widespread support both in New South Wales and nationally, and there's kind of this rhetoric that if it passes, if the Liberals get into government or the Coalition gets into government and they pass this, there will be national changes that follow in suit. However, Labor is only willing to do a 500-machine trial of this. Now, putting that into context, there's about 90,000 pokie machines in New South Wales, and Labor just wants to do this to 500 of them. So if you want an even more disturbing figure, Australia has less than half of the world's population. Sorry, not true at all.
Oh, my God.
Australia has less than 0.5% of the world's population.
Well, your first statement was technically true. Australia does have less than half the world's population.
Yeah, that is true. has less than 0.5% of global population, but we have 20% of the world's pokie machines. We have a really serious gambling problem in this country, and we need... really serious reform to tackle this. Now, there's been repeated calls on Labor to update their policy platform to match the Coalition, because at this point, the only people that seem to be aligned with Labor on this platform are those in the gambling industry. But Labor just isn't budging. In fact, and this one was the bit that really sent my mind spinning, Chris Minns, the New South Wales Labor leader, has gone so far as to suggest that he will not make deals with independents to support a cashless gaming card for all machines, even if it means losing the chance at government in the event of a hung parliament. Now, that is a really significant stance to take on what is a very sensible, very popular policy. It will be interesting to see how this develops because there's very little rhetoric against the cashless gaming card in the broader community. And there are tweaks that can be made to a proposed cashless gaming card to make it more effective, but at this point it's a little odd that Labor just won't get on board with this.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, and specifically in his seat, Troy Stoles, who worked at Clubs New South Wales and became a whistleblower alleging that the clubs and pubs in New South Wales were turning a blind eye on money laundering through their pokies, is now running against Chris Minns in his seat of Coggera on an anti-gambling platform. And Coggera is the most marginal seat in New South Wales, held on a margin of 0.1% by Minns. So given all the public outcry and the fact that not only his party's potential governance, but his own job is at risk, you would think he might give this a bit more of a serious look.
Yes, that's so strange. Why aren't Labor going for this? Is there a lot of pressure coming from funders or?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Okay.
But the rhetoric that they've been putting out is that they don't want an untested system in place. And that's what cashless gaming would be, something that hasn't been tested pretty much anywhere. While that would be a fair response in many circumstances, Sydney is absolutely flooded with pokies. So if you restrict access to 500 machines, which is 0.005% of all pokies in New South Wales, it's unlikely that a problem gambler just won't walk out of the pub with restrictions and walk down the road to another pub that doesn't have restrictions. And look, this is clearly an issue that isn't going to go quietly regardless of the outcome of the election, but it's worth keeping an eye on to see how it goes.
Definitely. Now, remind us quickly before you go when the election is, because I genuinely don't know.
Yeah. The election will take place next Saturday. That's the 25th
okay.
of March.
Okay.
Early voting begins this Saturday, which is early voting has been getting quite popular before COVID, during COVID. So I'm sure we'll see a lot of
I'm
this
sure
year.
I will be doing that this year as well, because yes. I found that very useful. Sounds good, Nick. Looking forward to see you next week for your next update. I just want to get one more comment for our question out of you.
Okay.
Do you think that Dominic Perrottet will announce that his wife is pregnant before the next election?
8 is a big number, but 36, he's comfortable with 36 children.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The sky's the limit, I guess. We'll see. We'll
okay.
See.
I think he might. Thanks. Thank you so much, Nick. See you next week.
See you next week.
That was producer Nick Newling giving us the hot scoop on New South Wales and federal politics this week. Tune in next week for another update on politics with Nick Newling.